It is two quick things. One is that it is an absolute honor to be associated with the Berkman Center. It is an incredible place with incredible people, and what goes on there has, I think, profound impact on the world right now and will continue to. And it is an absolute pleasure to introduce, are you here, Charlie? It is a great pleasure to introduce the founder of the Berkman Center, the William Weld Professor of Law here at Harvard, and all-around good guy, Charlie Nesson, who is going to take you through a tour of what we've been doing today and perhaps other things. Charlie.
Well, this has been a totally wonderful conference. I have only one complaint. When I went down for lunch, I was expecting to get a roast beef sandwich. I figured there'd been a big run on the vegetarian. Do you know there were only vegetarian sandwiches left? And that leads me to think that there are a lot of vegetarians in this audience who ate roast beef today. Well, it really has been a wonderful conference. We face large questions. We recognize that we have the internet, the net, not just the internet, but the communications medium in our hands. Each one of us now is capable of stepping up and making remarkable products. This is a space that admits of the combination of willing energy. This is something new. In law terms, the legal corporation was a lawyer's structure, an invention. Happened, I don't know, early 1800s, really got going. The essence of it was the severing of the human being from the business entity. The essence of the legal corporation is the responsibility to make money for shareholders. Human values in the for-profit corporation are public relations. The internet offers a change, an inflection point in the ability of people to organize. It now is possible for us to organize willing energies. That's extraordinary. This is a rhetorical space. This audience of all will understand. We're not just talking internet, we're talking media integrated by internet. The Berkman Center has formed a wonderful partnership with CCTV. Wave at Susan Fleischman back there. Why is that? Yes. Thank you, CCTV. And all the folks behind these cameras. Thank you, thank you. Now, what is that partnership about? It's about CCTV, in a sense, feeling itself threatened in its present environment. There are things happening that put pressure on a community television station. Susan sees the benefit of moving CCTV out into integrated media space. Why not? The Berkman Center. We're a research center. We believe that cyberspace doesn't exist until you build it, and so part of our research is to build out. Why shouldn't we have a TV station? I'm being instant messaged vigorously. I'll bet it's Zitrain. I just bet you it's Zitrain. No, sorry, it's Jamaica. Wow. Oh, never mind. Jamie Boyle asked me, was Jamaica going to be part of this? And I said, no, no. He said, it will be. I can tell you it will be. So, come on now, I got to shut you up. So, my point there, each of our organizations is looking to find its identity in this cyber environment. It's true for CCTV, it's true for the Berkman Center, it's true for Harvard. The Berkman Center started at Harvard Law School. That was because our donor, Jack Berkman, was a graduate of the Harvard Law School, and the money came through to the dean of the Harvard Law School, and that means that we were a center at Harvard Law School. It's appropriate, but sometimes misleading to people. People think of the law of cyberspace too easily as that product which courts generate in the wake of the disruptive force. But think of it, that's a backward-looking idea. Naturally, internet comes along, a huge disruptive force. Established interests are threatened. Their first instinct is to go to lawyers, to sue, to go to court. And so courts begin to generate output. Opinions written by people who really don't understand the medium, trying to resolve disputes that are largely beyond them. And yes, you could take cyber law as the study of that. I think of it as the excrement of courts. But you'll see that's not what's been on the table today. What's been on the table today is the generative side of this net. The idea that by connecting willing people, each one capable of communicating multimedia with any other, and with capability of aggregating the force of creation, that you generate activity, and out of activity comes business. You can't see exactly where it's going to come, but you know it's going to be there. The Berkman Center is now moving from being a center of Harvard Law School to being a center of Harvard University. What is that about? In a sense, it's about us finding our identity. I think of cyberspace as a rhetorical space. Identity is the currency of the space. If you can go anywhere, where do you choose to go? You go to something with which you share a sense of identity. As we look for identity in this space, the principles of openness recommend themselves. I'm totally with Jamie Boyle as he expresses the idea of balance in the space. You don't want a completely open environment. That's a desert. You don't want a completely closed environment. That's a cave. You want a balance between the two, and it'll come. There's a strategy to be followed, a law strategy to be followed, one that recognizes the paradigm shift that internet represents, a thought that combines the ideas of Gandhi on the one hand with Alex Bickel on the other, the idea of law as the least dangerous branch, the ideal of law to which citizens subscribe with the least amount of force. The internet invites a kind of forward motion that recommends inclusiveness. With inclusiveness, you can get resolution. The idea of people coming together around good, I believe, has a competitive advantage in this space. Why is that? Because if people can aggregate willingly, are there more people willing to aggregate around a good cause or around a bad cause? I think around a good cause. And as we see the organizations, the imagination that's giving rise to architectures of organization that produce these amazing media objects in this space, we have a sense of the space we're moving into. This event right here is a media object. I was introduced to the wiki just this winter in my evidence class. You can search it out on the net if you like. I'd never really experienced wiki before. I teach an evidence class in the classroom right below, an amphitheater, 150 students, 3 weeks, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week in our winter term. Nice, concentrated, tough. That's the only class they take. We started a wiki, 150 students suddenly able to contribute their energy to a common enterprise of learning the law of evidence, the resolution of disputes. And whoop, this thing grew. This conference itself, you simply look at the web page and you recognize no one person did that. It would have been a huge amount of work. And yet, there it is, and it's growing like magic as we speak here. So this is a new world we're going into. From Harvard's point of view, it's a new world where education has tremendous possibilities. I'm a strong believer myself in our strategy of moving up through the university is one of stressing open access to knowledge. The idea that the core value of a university is open knowledge. Research for the public interest, and that it's silly in many ways for us to still be in an environment in which we produce knowledge, we then give it to a for-profit corporation. They then give it back to us for us to vet with peer review. We then give it back to the corporation. They then sell it back to us for a large amount of money, the librarians feeling squeezed. And then, when I want to use some of it for a class, I need to ask the corporation's permission. This is insanity. If you think, starting out, how would you organize a university? And after all, a university has means. You would organize it so that we handle those functions ourselves. And that simple idea turns out to be so important to the developing world, which is largely excluded from scientific research because of the pay barriers they have to hit in order to get access. I'm looking forward to teaching a new class in the fall. It's called Cyber One, Law in the Court of Public Opinion. The idea is we teach here at law school. We have traditionally taught within the rhetorical frame of the court, the judiciary, the Constitution. I teach the rules of evidence, the assumption being that we'll litigate it out and some process will let us decide. What I'm hearing today, what I am eager to be teaching about next fall, is the idea that a lawyer in this cyber age stands at a podium all the time and anytime the lawyer wants to. I totally subscribe to Jonathan's one sentence. At the end of the day, the currency of the space is the power of your argument. Who you are, what you have to say, the spirit in which you say it. That goes back to Aristotle. Still true. This is a rhetorical space. So I'm eager to engage the idea that we are now capable of making change by making message. We are now capable of making message to make change. And if one looks for a future for public media, I think it's wisdom to imagine a future in which institutions such as Harvard recognize their potential in this new environment as being generators of open knowledge and collaborators with other universities, other colleges, other schools, other community institutions in the creation of an open commonwealth of knowledge. Information is power. We all were taught that. The process of generating and expressing information is a process of self-development. It's the challenge we face. So I would welcome any further collaboration that the Berkman Center can generate with any of you. I would love to make content that is good enough so that you would want to share it. You would want to include it in your aggregation, your ability to blog, your ability to link, your ability to put on your media, your ability to share and propagate. And I am confident that content of quality will come to the top. At the end of the day, I believe fundamentally that human values need to rest at the bottom of what we do in a technological world. And that is possible. Close with one thought. David Lieroff. You recall he spoke of a strategic inflection point. He spoke of global consciousness. Well, I believe that there is such a thing as global consciousness, but I think it's in competition. Not just one, there's two. My sense, the world I've grown up in, the one that Mark Cooper looks at and says, it doesn't make any sense, has been a world dominated by a mindset characterized by Ike as the military-industrial complex. The corporation that formed back in the 1800s learned how to make money on information control, and then learned how to spend its money on lobbyists and political contribution, learned how to work the law so that by the time we come to the present, the law is totally distorted in the direction of the for-profit company. Completely understandable process. The inflection point. It comes when a competing consciousness starts to grow strong enough to offset the consciousness of the for-profit world. And that's what I believe is happening. I'm a great fan of a group nearby called Downhill Battle. The basic idea is we are in a downhill battle. There's a tendency among us to feel that the way to go forward is to complain about all the awful things they're doing. It invites a kind of cycle where abuse on one side can be matched at times with abuse on the other. It's a mistake. I'm a child of the 60s. I had dreams of peace during Vietnam. We screwed it up. We went overboard. We let them come back at us in a way that wiped us out. Now we're here again. It's a downhill battle. Be confident. There is an optimistic future ahead. There is divinity in the net. And the challenge is to be gentle to your enemies. Thank you very much for coming. A total pleasure.